Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
April means pro football.
I mean, here's a guy that criticizes everybody, whoever they take. He's got the answers to who you should take and who you shouldn't take.
I don't do a ton of research.
In my knowledge of him, he's never ever put on a jock strap. He's never been a coach. He's never been a scout. He's never been an administrator. And all of a sudden, he's an expert.
Well, I think we do a decent job for guys who suck.
This is a Draft Week edition of Dirt and Spray.
Brought to you by Crunch Fitness. Celebrating 35 years of fitness with a party on Tuesday, April 30th from 4 to 7 p.m. at Aloha, Beaverton, Division Center, and Vancouver Plaza.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080. The Fan.
All right. 6:02 in the Rose City. Time for Dirt and Sprague on Portland's sports leader, 1080 The Fan. Happy Tuesday, everybody.
What is happening?
It's a late Monday night. Very late. Very, very late Monday night.
Man, yesterday was great. The action was amazing. Overwhelming at times, if I'm going to be honest with you. Like, the dual screen thing with the newborn doesn't really fly quite as easily.
Yeah.
So I feel like I'm missing things left and right. Can we start these damn games earlier? I know we do the same bit.
They're late enough for the East Coast, though.
Every year we do the same bit, and we have the same complaint, and that's all I was thinking. Like, that game last night was amazing. It ended at, like, 9:40. What are we doing here?
Are you talking about the hockey game or the basketball game?
I didn't make it to the end. What, I don't even know what time the last hockey games ended.
I don't either.
Edmonton was blowing out L.A., so I didn't watch the third period of that, and then I don't even know who won the other game. I didn't watch the end of it. It's too late.
It was. It was a late, late night. I don't think I put my head on the pillow till 11:15.
Jesus, man.
Not great.
Not good, Bob. That's not good for a 4 a.m. wake-up call.
We're running on coffee today here,
hey,
Dirk.
Hey, a lot of caffeine.
The roasting boys.
Yeah, I had one of my the wife's family members texting me yesterday. He said, hey, did you catch the end of that Carolina Islander game? And I'm like, dude, no. I wanted to, but when you got a kid that's screaming, it's hard to have an iPad and a basketball game, and it was like ending at the same time as Philly, New York. And I know Philly, New York's a bigger story on the show than Islanders and Hurricanes, and I missed the third period of it.
I would say, based on listening and following sports media yesterday, none of the basketball or none of the hockey matters with anybody.
None of it does?
No. Just none of it. No.
Yeah. Let's talk NFL draft for 3 hours.
NFL draft. Spring football takeaways. NFL draft.
I did. I want to read this tweet. I've seen some really funny tweets, and I like to credit them when I see them because I always wish that I could think of something like this.
Well, I want to give credit to some of the listeners that tweet us last night. And it doesn't bother me anymore because I'm old and I don't care as much.
Sure.
But I love the response to any basketball related things of no hockey.
Come on, man.
I'm like, you guys are one of 10.
My Oilers look like a wagon though. Connor McDavid.
You want to know a fun fact about me?
Yeah, what do you got?
It's a little fun fact. So you said, who'd you say text you asking about Islanders?
The wife's uncle did. He said, hey, you catch uncle. The third period of that
uncle
game?
Uncle Dennis?
Uncle Dennis. I was like, no, I did not.
Burn-ins. I don't have a single, if I removed myself from sports, okay, I don't have one single individual in my life in any sphere, whether that's a friend of a friend, or a friend or a family member,
okay,
not one, that would ever reach out to me and ask me anything about did I see the hockey.
No texts about the hockey?
The sport would basically cease to exist in my world if I wasn't doing this job and if I chose not to turn sports on. I wouldn't have one human being reach out and be like, did you catch that hockey?
I see that third period last night, huh?
Not a one.
Hell of a comeback there by the Carolina Hurricanes.
It would be the most dead sport in my life.
I'm now going to start texting you every time there's a thrilling hockey finish just to ask you, hey, did you see the third period of that game?
Look, I will say no, but I'm not mad that you would text me that. I'm just saying, like, outside of the sports, this, not a single human being exists in my life that watches, knows, or follows anything hockey related.
The tweet last night was, I've known people who obsessively follow both the NHL and the NBA, and I don't know how they do it for this stretch. I'd have to optimize every other element of my life. No time for preparing or enjoying food. Whatever gets me calories quickest, I'd probably just eat flour out of the bag. And that's how I feel. That's how I feel when I'm trying to, like, flip back and forth. The wife, we were eating dinner, and she said she likes watching baseball. It's kind of low-key, having on in the background. Big fan of baseball in the summer, which is great in my book. And so she was like, hey, what's happening to the Giants play tonight? And I said, oh, they're on later. We're probably not going to watch it, though, because there's too much going on. I only got so many screens. I'm going to be watching the end of basketball. And I said, you got to buckle up, honey. This is the next, like, 2 months. Every night there are multiple games on. And you're going to have to follow them as closely as you can.
I would like to apologize. We're working on it right now. The YouTube stream, not quite up yet. Swag is working on it, so hopefully we'll get that fired up in just a second. You dropped a buttercup to your wife?
Hey, buttercup.
Okay.
Hey, toots. Sorry, toots. Giants game's on. Not on the big screen tonight, toots.
I do miss, I didn't miss it. I missed the era completely of being able to call your significant other or any attractive woman toots.
I think we need to bring it back.
Was it offensive? Is that why it went away?
I don't know. Toots? I think broad was. I like that
broad
word.
Broad is pretty.
That's an offensive one.
You can kind of hear that one.
You can, yeah.
What's the origin of toots?
I'm going to Google that. No. How do you even spell toots? Is it a T-U-T-Z?
I always thought it was T-O-O-T-S.
Toots? Toots?
Well, I guess that would be toots.
Don't call them toots.
T-U-T-Z? Toots?
What's the...
I don't know.
Let me Google. I'll see what I can find.
Where's the grammar Nazi when you need him? He's working on YouTube right now. He's too busy.
We're not on TV. Sorry,
we're figuring
folks.
It out. We'll get it going.
What's the meaning of toots? See if anything pops up.
I'm just curious the origin of it, how you get to toots.
I don't know if anything's actually going to... Yeah, I don't think our internet's working right now, so that's cool.
Oh, well, that's probably what it is. It's an internet problem.
Oh, there we go.
Did you get it?
An affectionate or familiar term of address. Honey, baby. Sometimes offensive when used to strangers.
Sure. You say something. Yeah, you call a random lady baby, it's going to be offensive.
Or subordinates. Was first recorded in 1945 as Tootsie.
Yeah.
That's how it began.
Okay.
So it doesn't sound like it's offensive. I think we can still use it.
Is that the origin of the Tootsie roll?
No, this is Toots. Hmm. And I think your spelling was correct.
T-O-O-T-S.
T-O-O-T-S.
Hey, why are you throwing your face?
Noun, right. Slang.
I won fourth grade spelling bee at Sacramento Elementary School.
Toots. Yeah, I'm spelling is one of my stronger suits, but I did not know toots there.
Tuts, God, now you got me all screwed up.
Now we're tongue-tied.
Are we on YouTube now?
Okay.
I think we're live.
Are we?
Not on Twitch.
We got one of the two.
Well, I would ask this sincerely. What is the Twitch audience?
Does anybody watch us on Twitch? Let us know.
As in touch with the Twitch as I am the YouTubes.
Do we need to start shouting that out at the start of every show?
Get on Twitch.
Give everybody a reminder. Hey, go watch us on Twitch.
You know, it's funny. I caught a bit of a NFL draft podcast yesterday, and they ended up cutting it out and circulating it. So it's pretty funny. You mentioned two screens and just not having enough time to eat. And there was an NFL draft guy that basically said, I hate eating, it takes too long. Said, if I could just take a pill that fills me up and makes it feel like I ate, I would do it.
I mean, there's a few days that I feel like I would do that. Not every day, but there's a few times where you're just like, I don't really feel like preparing anything. I don't want to order something because it's expensive, and I don't like using delivery apps as often as I possibly can avoid them. And if you just like some nights it's like 5:15, you're like, I haven't started cooking dinner yet.
And that dinner ain't gonna be eaten until 6:15.
Nope, it's gonna be late. I don't even know what. And then you ask the wife what they want for dinner, and it's a, I don't know, what do you want? And then you go in this weird roundabout, it's and it's worst. Like, just can you pick something for once in your life?
Yeah,
tell
but
me
she's
what
gonna
you
pick
want.
Something, and you're gonna, it kind of doesn't sound good.
I always tell myself I need to do the, hey, we're doing this for dinner, and then gauge the reaction. And if it's a negative reaction, then you pick the other thing.
I kind of do the same thing. I say, hey, we're doing this for dinner, and I kind of side eye it, and I'm like, Okay, tacos.
Yep, we're doing tacos. That's what we're doing. But a lot of those nights, you give me a pill, boom, I get the nutrients I need. I think I would take that pill.
Yesterday was a day that I wish I didn't have to cook. My wife ended up cooking most of the dinner.
Did she?
But I was blackstoning some chicken. And before the chicken was done, and after I had just dumped sauce all over my blackstone, the propane ran out. So I currently have I have a Korean barbecue sauce just
chilling,
stuck all over my Blackstone that I get to try to burn and scrape off today after the show.
That's one of the things I'm actually proud of myself older in life. I've learned that lesson the hard way a number of times, and I now at all times, I don't use propane very often because I have a smoke grill, but I always have an extra propane tank on hand.
Well, I do the trade-in thing with Rhino.
I know. I got two of them.
Can you do two at a time?
You can go buy as many propane tanks as you want,
well,
buddy.
Well, I know you can, but I guess I just never thought about that.
Because at the old house, I used to have a propane grill, and then I got my wonderful, luxurious fire pit that also takes a propane tank. And I thought, we're not going to rotate the propane tank every time we go from grill to fire.
Sure.
What if I want a fire and a grill at the same time? I got to be prepared. And now I don't use the propane grill anymore. I still have it, but I don't use it. And so it was just, I had an extra propane tank, and I always make sure you got two full.
It's a good idea.
You're running the fire, you're running the grill, boom, you swap them out, you're ready to go. Turn the next one on.
I'll probably do that today. I'll buy two for the first time in my life.
You go snag. You get that one filled up, buy a full one, then you're set. You don't have to worry.
Well, speaking of fire, it's going to be a fire show.
We got a lot going on today.
Lit. Ready to go.
As the kids would say.
Is it kids anymore? I feel like those kids have become like young 20-somethings.
The
lit crowd, you know?
Lit. I don't think my niece and nephew say lit.
I think it's like a 10-year-old phrase at this point. So it's like, you think about it, you're 12 when you were using it, you're 22.
That's true. Everybody's getting old.
Busy show today. Mike Doc Parker is going to hop on at 8 a.m. Are we sounding alarms for Beaver baseball? I got swept by Cal this weekend.
We got a big series this weekend.
We do have a big series this
Ducks
weekend.
Ducks and Beavers, baby.
Yeah.
My powerhouse.
Yeah.
My regional final powerhouse.
Is it in Corvallis or Eugene?
I don't know.
It's in Corvallis.
Okay. Oh, so people will be there. That's great. Good to know.
You're lucky it's not in Eugene because they'd actually have a crowd on Saturday with the spring game.
With all Beaver fans?
One game. We'd have one game, Phil. Not Friday, not Sunday. We'd have one.
So we'll talk to Mike Doc Parker about spring takeaways. Anything stuck out to him for spring football, where it all sits right now, and a check-in on Oregon State baseball. Mike Doc Parker at 8. We got the mail sack at 8:15. And Sam Monson of Pro Football Focus is going to hop on with us today. He's going to be on the YouTubes, I think. I'm pretty confident. I got an email. It was weird. This guy with PFF, I'm in really regular communication with him. Like, we know each other. And I shot yesterday. Is he good to do YouTube? He goes, yeah, for when, what show, and what day?
Mine?
I was just thinking, if you just scrolled up, you'd literally see the...
It's
and
all.
I said, me? My show?
The one we texted about 2 days ago?
He goes,
on at 7:30?
Sure. Thanks.
Okay, all right.
Like, okay, that's a lot.
We'll run with that. Why not?
So Sam Monson will hop on. He did a 2.5-hour mock pod with our other good friend, Steve Palazzolo. So
it is that time of year where the next 3 days are going to be annoying as hell. This team's thinking about doing this, but they're also okay with doing this.
Rumblings, this D-tackle is moving up to the mocks on this team.
They're thinking about moving down, but they could stand pat. Wait and see.
We'll get to some draft-related things today, and we'll talk to Monson at 7:30. Again, get the mail sack questions in at 8:15. It is a loaded show. We got to start in the association. What a night in the NBA. Dirt and Sprague, we'll start there on 1080 The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Just an unbelievable moment in sports last night. Some would say legendary moment, considering the stakes and the stage. And I don't know how it resonated with you, where you put it as like most amazing thing you've seen in the moment. But Ronald Acuña setting the Braves stolen bases record was tremendous.
Did they play yesterday?
It was unbelievable. Yeah, they beat the Marlins.
They beat the Marlins.
Yeah, they won 3-0.
How are you a franchise for that long through all the decades, almost over a century, and your stolen base record is 190?
Well, I mean,
That's actually a pretty good question.
You know what I'll do? I'll do show research. I don't actually want to talk about this. I want to start with the basketball. But I am curious how many, like, what's the record for each team and where that kind of ranks? Because I kind of thought the same thing when they had mentioned this.
Yeah.
At the start of the year, it's like, he's going to break this record in the first couple of weeks. And I was like,
when you go back in the 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, when stolen bases were much more prevalent in the game, you didn't have, usually, most teams, I think, have somebody who was a guy.
Here we go. God, I can't believe I'm doing this. I was doing a jokey segment.
Here we go.
This is players. I can't find teams.
I'm trying to.
Oh,
yeah,
here it is.
By team is what I'm looking for.
So, I mean, I don't see. I can't find it. Anyways, we'll figure it out. 190 doesn't seem like a big, large number
for an organization that has been around that long. I didn't even know that happened. So that's cool for Ronald Acuña. But I would have assumed it was somebody from the 1947 who stole like 80 bases for 10 straight years.
Yeah, but didn't they shoot him? It's like the movie Hook.
You're running a second, pop, you're down. He's out. Get him out of there.
I'm just murdering a guy on second
and taking his cleat off and bashing his head in. You were out. Don't complain the call.
Do we get a substitute or guy just dead?
Yeah, bring somebody else out from the dugout. We'll be okay.
No, it was sports was great last night.
If
you like hockey and hoops, which that's an interesting human being, I think. I don't know if we know a lot of people in our lives that are hockey and hoops.
I had them both going.
No, I know. You guys are it, and I'm not saying there's not more, but it is an interesting blend of sports fan that's into hockey and hoops.
It's not easy, man. You had the crazy game ending in New York, the Philly, both game, you know, New York playing Carolina, and New York and Philly and basketball ending at like literally the same time.
You look like somebody that decided to come in today with that mustache to talk about the hockey and
what
you don't like about the NBA for certain reasons that you just can't say out loud.
I don't like that the Cavs and Magic are playing, and I don't think that series is actually happening. If nobody watches, does that series actually take place?
Legitimate question. NBA TV yesterday, Cavs Magic. Is the number over or under of watching the game? And let's say at least two quarters. Is that number over under 210,000 people in America?
I would say over just because Cleveland's a relatively big city. Like, you got to have, like, there's got to be a decent chunk of people in
Cleveland.
Yeah,
but in the first round, the local TV gets to broadcast.
Yeah, what's the NBA
TV? Oh, so just
TV?
On NBA TV.
Yes.
Oh, under.
It has to be
it
under,
has to
right?
be under.
There can't be more than 10 people in this market that care about the Cleveland Cavaliers or Orlando Magic.
And it was all probably, like, bars that just have the NBA TV
have it
channel
as a
on.
It's on that corner one back
exactly.
behind the St. Pauli girl sign.
Man, what a night. And I think inside the NBA, they may have gotten it from somebody on Twitter or they did it themselves, brought up an interesting point. I certainly can't remember every Thursday doubleheader in my life.
No.
Was that the greatest doubleheader on TNT history?
I mean, my frame of reference is very small for this because who the hell remembers what Thursday night doubleheaders took place or Tuesday doubleheaders? That one has to be in the running. To have two playoff games, the lower-seeded team both thinking that they should have won, like Philly should have won and the Lakers should have won that game.
Yeah.
And to not have it happen, to have basically a game-winning shot in one and then literally a game-winning shot in the other with crazy chaos in the final 90 seconds of it. They were compelling basically throughout. Philly was in control. The Lakers were in control. The other teams come back. Both those games were phenomenal last night.
I was trying to do some digging, and I could not come up with a better back-to-back game than one team eliminating a five-point lead in 30 seconds.
Yes, they went Reggie Miller on Philly.
They did. Conversely, the Knicks flipped it on the Reggie Miller theory. They did their own Reggie Miller.
Look at that. Way to go, Knicks.
And then the next game is a blown 20-point lead involving LeBron, Davis, Jokic, and Murray hits the game-winning shot at the buzzer.
I'm actually really glad the Lakers went up by 20 because there's not a lot of value in gambling on the Denver Nuggets right now. They were a big favorite in that game.
Oh, you went money line?
I did. When they were down by 20, it's like, dude, they're at home. They might not win. That's a pretty big hill to climb.
What was the line if you...
It was like plus 240, so it wasn't even that good when they were down by 20, but still, getting the Nuggets at plus 240 at any time in a playoff game at home, I'm going to take that.
I'm with you there. I would have seen that number and like, what?
That's it? That's all it is? Because Vegas knows. They knew they were coming back in that game.
Well, okay, so we could start a bunch of ways. I'm kind of with that. So the Lakers now 0-5 against the Nuggets when they get at least a 10-point lead against them in a game.
I think they've lost 10 in a row against them now in the playoffs. Is that what we're up to?
The Nuggets own the Lakers.
Yeah.
They
own a lot of teams.
If you would have asked me in real time when the Lakers were up 20, I would have not batted an eye and said, yeah, Nuggets can win.
Yeah, of course they can.
It wouldn't even have been I don't know. Yeah. I would have been like, no, Nuggets can win.
I mean, a big part of why the Lakers built that lead was because of the way Anthony Davis was playing. And he had an unbelievable game. But
Until the fourth quarter.
Yeah. Can you do, like, that's
money time.
That's hard to do for four quarters. It's hard to dominate a game by yourself for four quarters. And LeBron had a couple of moments there in the fourth, but.
He's 39 years old. At some point, this cannot be about what LeBron did or did not do.
He's playing at elevation.
I would argue he was awesome in the fourth quarter. He hit some huge three-point shots. He had that steal in the dunk.
Like, not clutch, man. He bricked the most important one. Jordan would have made that shot. Come on, dude.
Okay. I did.
Clutch. He doesn't have the clutch gene. Should have passed it.
I did. Well, that would actually get him in more trouble with the clutch
gene
people,
right? You
got to
take the shot, but you got to make the shot. You can't miss that shot.
The hierarchy of the clutch gene idiots is you got to take the shot and make the shot.
Yes.
And then you got to take the shot and then... passing, and it's not even an option because, you know, Jordan never passed the ball.
Is anybody doing that to Maxey today after he played hot potato with 0.8 seconds left and chucked it over to Embiid?
Dude.
5 feet behind the three-point line looking to tie the game?
Did that not look like America's Funniest Home Videos, like a reenactment of how to lose a basketball game, the end sequences?
You take the ball. Here, you shoot it. I don't want to shoot this shot, even though I have 36 points on the night or 35.
I wish I was more tech savvy, and I should be. It's a pretty damn shame in my life at this age, I'm not tech savvy enough. If I could splice out the volume and the audio of the Philly New York sequence when DiVincenzo ends up taking the lead, I would splice over Chris Berman's whoop, whoop, whoop
as they were tossing the ball on the ground.
Yes.
And Nick Nurse is over there screaming for a timeout and nobody's giving him a timeout.
I kind of felt for him, but also, like, refs are paying attention and. I mean, if they don't think you have possession, you can't grant a timeout.
No,
so.
But he was technically in, because I was, the whole time I was watching, as we now like do both games, but I was thinking to myself, I was holding a crying baby in those moments, trying to not scream at what was taking place.
You should have just cried with him.
It
would have been fun.
I'm screaming, he's screaming.
Might have startled him to stop crying.
What are we doing? Oh, the Knicks won? That's pretty cool.
You've never cried?
And I was thinking to myself, wait a minute, I need the aftermath of this. Did they have a timeout? Because I was like, I couldn't pay attention in the moment. I knew what was happening. I was like, I didn't see the screen. Did they have a timeout? And then I go back and watch a highlight. They indeed did have a timeout. And not only did they have a timeout, before they inbounded the ball, Nick Nurse had his hands over his head calling timeout.
Yeah.
As before the ball was even, because he could tell that got close to a five count. He's up there, hands up like this. Timeout, timeout. Nobody calls it. Maxey falls to the floor. Chaos ensues.
So I was doing a little shed building. I had the iPad and the TV going. And I saw the score. And it was Philly up 5, and I went, okay. And my wife comes out. I'm like chopping wood, and she goes,
final Knicks. I went, what?
What?
And I ran. I jumped over my supplies. I ran up my deck. I go in my house. I'm seeing New York. So I rewinded. I'm like, come on. The statistical probability of them winning that game.
Such a long shot.
I'd have to go see if anybody had. It had to have been less than 20% chance that happened.
Yeah. Your win probability.
And I'm just like asking my wife. Why? Who? Where? And she's like, I don't know. So I rewind it to the point where I had last seen it when they were down five, and I'm just floored. I'm like, oh my God.
That is one of the all-time choke jobs. You had a chance to even the series. You go back to Philly with all the momentum in the world, and you literally dribbled it off your leg. And all you have to do in that moment, if you're Maxi, there's two outcomes that are acceptable. You call timeout when you inbound the ball. You're trapped. There's two dudes there. Like, just call a timeout. It's okay. Or you hold the basketball until there's a tie-up or they call a foul. The only thing that you cannot do in that moment is get all flippy-floppy and flop down to the ground like a fish out of water.
And then try to roll the
ball. And roll the ball across the paint. And, like, what are you doing? He had an unbelievable game. It was the Maxi flu game. Hit the big three moments earlier. Like, he was fantastic all night. And then made just a horrific decision in that moment.
It's a therapy Tuesday for me. What do you guys think it says about my psyche that I'm still allowing Kobe, Jordan, LeBron-related tweets to bother me?
Oh, the takes on LeBron last night still getting to you?
We've 21 seasons, 39 years old, and we act like this dude has accomplished nothing.
He hasn't done anything, man. He hasn't won a real championship.
Okay? Some California moron was like, that's the difference in Kobe and MJ. They had it. And I actually typed out a response, and then I was
not
like,
worth it.
Why am I doing this? Is this still getting me?
I mean, my takeaway from watching that game was to come in and do the same segment that's been done 8 million times, but there's not another segment that can be done, and that is, there is zero chance the collective sports populace is appreciating the fact that a guy in year 21 is still the full, like, he is their team. I know Anthony Davis was great last night.
No, but he is.
If LeBron doesn't play well, they don't win. And without him in the fourth quarter, they lose that game by double digits. Denver was coming at them like a freight train bearing down the tracks. And he had a couple of big threes. He had a big and one.
Yep.
He was the only thing,
the steal and the dunk.
He was the only thing that kept him in that game. And he's in his 21st year. He has played more playoff games than basically half of the NBA franchises outside of like the Lakers and Celtics and a few chosen ones. And it just, I know that people hate him. I know that he is a raging douchebag. I get all of that. It's insane. Like, you just, it's impossible. It doesn't happen. Guys at this point in their career, if they're still playing, are playing 12 minutes a night off the bench. Yeah. They're Andre Iguodala. It's Udonis Haslam, who's like, hey, he's an honorary coach, but he's technically still on the team. That's what year 21 is supposed to look like. This guy is still dominating playoff games. And my favorite tweet was one of him. Remember the Nike commercial where he talks to younger LeBron, or the crypto one? And it was basically, go find a boy named Nikola Jokic and tell him to pursue horse racing because he is now standing in his way and he can't get through him.
Let's start with that one. We'll get to the Knicks-Sixers one. A lot of audio coming out of that one, too, and a great bang. We got a great brain bang last night. But we'll go with the Jokic-Laker angle. I find it interesting this, and we'll talk about just how they blew that lead and how we feel about Denver. We'll get to that next on The Fan.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Okay, this is what we're dealing with here, in full honesty. Not a complaint.
No, just an acknowledgement.
Just acknowledging.
Just shouting it out, letting people know.
The YouTube on Swag's computer says live. The YouTube page itself, if you operate it outside of here, says nothing.
It says it's waiting for 1080 the Fan.
So Swag's doing his... It's not, I mean, unless there's something that maybe, I don't know.
Something changed or whatever. Yeah. It is recording.
Okay.
It is recording, so hopefully.
Be funny if it was not, just recording the 1080 logo on the actual YouTube page.
But I see, yeah, there's you two in your little pictures.
In my little bubble.
In my little box.
In your little boxes.
My little box. I would like to shout out the 11 people who are watching on YouTube right now, and it's just a screen that says 1080 The Fan with no audio.
Those are, that's an, you know what?
Shout out to you. Well done. Why you would do that, I don't know, but I love you for it, and you're awesome people.
So we apologize. Hopefully we can get that squared away. Just giving you a quick update. Swags Comp says it's good, but the actual page is not registering.
Yes.
I don't know anything else other than that. Lakers Nugs last night. Lakers blow a 20-point lead. And I, you know, much like Patrick Mahomes in football, I'm finding it interesting that we're making it such a big deal that a team blows a lead to such a great team or athlete.
Especially at home.
Like the NBA.
Or on the road in the Lakers case.
Yeah, and I believe I brought this up while you were out. When we were young, we would watch these TNT games, and if a team was down 15 going into the fourth, it basically was an over situation.
No chance.
Because everybody's going to shoot twos. They're going to take awful mid-range shots. They're going to shoot 31% from the field.
Yeah, you milk the clock.
Yeah, you milk and clock. It just it was never the kind of game that an 11-point lead with a minute 10, that's not safe in the NBA.
No.
So when we cite, like, the Chiefs come back from 10 in the Super Bowl, I'm like, yeah, and I guess 10 points, some overcoming number that nobody's ever come back from. It's it's just wild to me how we're still using narratives from the late 90s and placing it into 2024.
There was a clip. I haven't listened to every episode, but I've listened to a few of them, and I've really enjoyed it. The J.J. Redick-LeBron podcast.
Oh,
and they talked about this on one of their episodes and basically pinpointed Steph Curry being the kind of focal point of some of it, but the same thing of if you're on an NBA team, you're up by, you know, 15 or more points going into the fourth quarter. The mindset LeBron said when he got into the NBA was basically sit down, put your feet up, the game's over. You're not playing in the fourth quarter. And now because of the three ball and everybody being able to shoot from distance, that's not the case. And you got to grind out those wins, especially when you're on the road. And they learned that the hard way last night.
I think that's what makes the 2000 season so painful for most of us. It's not that you just blew the lead. It's you blew a lead in an era where you don't blow that kind of lead.
And that late in the game, especially, too.
Yeah, well, the offense completely came apart.
They did. They couldn't make a shot there for a while. People don't forget.
So here is the final call. Jamal Murray, it's tied at, what is it, 99, right? It's 101-99.
99-99.
So kind of a little bit of an old school defensive slugfest to a certain extent. A lot of shots going in and out for the Nugs most of that night. And it's tied at 99. LeBron misses the three. Denver gets the rebound. Murray has the ball and proceeds to do this.
LeBron, no! Porter's got it! Nuggets, 12 seconds remaining. They're not going to call timeout. Nine seconds remaining. Murray's got to go. Murray. Let's it fly. Yeah!
Oh, my God!
That's Altitude TV on the call of the Jamal Murray. We got the local broadcast. See, I like the local broadcast getting their shine during the first round.
I'm going to ask you a broadcasting question. This has been gnawing at me since last night. Once you say it, I'm going to be like, God, duh. Yeah. Who was the third guy on the TNT crew?
Jamal Crawford.
Jamal Crawford. That's who I thought it was. That was bugging me literally the entire game. And I didn't want to Google it. I'm like, I know this voice. I'm going to know the name the second I hear it. And I couldn't figure it out all night.
Did you like him?
He was okay.
Threw him on the Harlan Reggie crew, which is, you know, usually that's a standalone crew.
I just wish it was Kevin Harlan and with no color commentators. Just give me Kevin Harlan's the best. I just want Kevin Harlan.
Kevin Harlan is.
I want four quarters of Kevin Harlan. His analysis is fine by me. That's all I need.
Did you guys? I don't know if you caught this. Did you guys catch at the very end of the game? I believe the game is still going, or it just ended. Did you catch Peyton Manning slapping everybody on the back live on television? You're the best, man. I love you. Saying that to Reggie, Jamal, and then Kevin Harlan, like,
I did not see that.
Harlan, like, spun around real quick because he wanted to shake Peyton's hand.
Hey, Peyton, the sheriff's walking around town. Oh, yeah. Those Nuggets jerseys are absolute booty.
The 5280?
What are we doing? Yeah. They have so many cool combinations, so many cool throwbacks that they've worn. Like, what? Just numbers across the front of the jersey?
I don't know.
That's a bad look.
Let me ask you,
I know it's mostly for the Stephen A's of the world who got to sit courtside at a Knicks game last night, so I'm sure he watched very closely that Nuggets-Laker game.
Bing bong!
It's mostly about LeBron probably missing a jump shot, choking, clutch gene crap today from the national media.
Let joke!
I'm legitimately starting to wonder when the Nuggets win the championship, because I think they will. Where and how I'm placing that guy in my NBA pantheon, because it's kind of becoming an uncomfortable conversation to say, yeah, only has one chip, but put him in any era and he's winning a chip.
Yes, he is, because his game fits every era. He's that good. He's that dominant. And even in a game like last night where his number two guy did not have a very good night from the field. Murray hit a couple of big shots late, and obviously the game winner.
He was 9 of 24.
He was 0 of 5 from 3.
6 of 8 in the fourth quarter, though.
He got hot late, and that was a big part of that. I mean, they outscored him by 12 in the fourth quarter, so I'll give him credit there. But he was pretty non-existent for the first three quarters. And Jokic didn't have the most dominant in terms of night in terms of scoring, and not high volume. He got to the free throw line. He had 27. But for a night where it's like, it felt
he
like
a 20-20-10 game.
He had 27, 20, and 10.
Listen to what you said,
though. Well, I'm just saying, from a scoring perspective.
I know, but it's crazy to have that stat line. And, well, you know, you didn't score
but they only
much.
Scored 101 points.
Yeah, I know. I'm just saying, it's funny how you can watch the game and have a feeling of he's not dominating for most of it, and they're down by 20, and then they win, and you look up, and he had 27 points, 20 rebounds, and 10 assists.
They're such a perfectly built team. Gordon fits so well with them. KCP is the dog they need on a wing. Porter has times where he shoots, like when he hit that shot to tie it at 95. I know that crowd was thinking what I was thinking. Oh, ah!
Yeah, you
know,
no, yeah!
Like, that's Michael Porter to a T, but he's kind of reined it in pretty well, I think. And Murray's coming back from the injury last couple weeks. He's going to start ramping it up. James Worthy on the Laker television postgame said that having Jokic on the court is to him, and you know, it's James Worthy, the equivalent of having a hybrid of Kareem and Magic. And I'm just like, how do I wrap my brain around that kind of player?
Yes.
And I know it's like, he's so good. Yeah, everybody knows that. We've been talking about that a long time. But it's starting to reach, like, Costas said this on You Better, You Bet, an inevitability feeling. He's got a Mahomes-esque vibe of, no lead is safe, and you go in kind of just assuming Denver's going to win because he's going to be the best player no matter the team.
Which is why I live bet them down by 20, because there's an inevitability with Denver.
They stopped going to AD for whatever reason. AD was having a night.
I feel like there is some of that. I also feel like you're supposed to be the big dog now. LeBron is not supposed to be the lead dog. Go get the ball. In the midst of that run when they got it to 11 and then like 9 and 7, I think he took one shot in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
And it was
that
a mid-range.
Can't happen.
You gotta, you know, part of what makes these number one true franchise guys it is their ability to just go get it. You can feel however you feel about LeBron's clutch gene. You cannot argue the fact that he goes and gets the basketball and wants to operate and try to win the game.
Mm-hmm.
AD's got, you cannot just be passive like that, man. And then, like, LeBron takes a rest in the fourth. That's your time. It is quite literally Anthony Davis' time. Demand the basketball. Go tell D'Lo to drop it in. Go tell Reeves to give you the ball. You've got to assert yourself more. And he just didn't. He was great. He was phenomenal in this series up until last night's fourth quarter. One shot attempt. It's unacceptable.
Well, I wonder how much of that, too, had to do with the foul trouble that he got into. And also, the last two fouls that he had were just, like, horrible decisions. One of them was just a lazy moving screen where he kind of sticks his knee out a little bit. There's four. He's dominating the game. Now he's got to go sit down. LeBron's got to come off the bench before he's ready. And then the last one that he took, the fifth foul, was the and one of Jokic where he just, I mean, Jokic.
He went for up fake.
Goes for the up fake. Just let him make a layup. He beat you on that play. There's nothing to be gained from fouling him there. He's probably going to make both free throws if he goes to the line because he was 7-7 from the free throw line. Just let him make a layup, go back the other way. Instead, he picked up his fifth foul, gave Jokic the N1, gave him an extra point. And I wonder how much of that changed his mindset late in the game, having to sit with four fouls, losing his rhythm a little bit, and then picking up a fifth with a couple of minutes to go.
As quickly as you can, any team in the West outside Lakers, I think this series is over. Lakers saying all the, oh, you know, we're a good spot, we'll go home.
I mean, it's the exact same thing that happened last year in the Western Conference Finals. They could have won the first three games. Yeah. Game four was a blowout, but they could have won. They could have. They were in game one, bad third quarter. They led by 20 late in this game and blew the lead.
The only thing, only team I think has a shot if they are completely healthy the whole way through is the Clippers.
Kawhi comes back.
If Kawhi comes back and they are fully healthy, they present problems for Denver at the defensive end in a way no other team does.
Minnesota has had their struggles against Denver, but I'm kind of curious if they can get past Phoenix and Ant has that series.
I would be curious. They have as much size as anybody to deal with them. And so not only to deal with Jokic, but to help keep Gordon and Porter off the offensive glass.
And Ant is such a skilled player. They get somebody into foul trouble. I kind of wonder about Minnesota, but they still need to get past Phoenix. So
I got a ticket on the T-Wolves to win the West.
I know you do.
Took a flyer on. Why not? Let's see what we can do.
But the Nuggets inevitably win that game last night, overcome a 20-point lead. Madness in the Garden, next on The Fan. We'll pause the hoops at the top of the hour, getting some NFL draft stuff. Madness in Madison Square Garden last night. The Sixers were up 5. About 38 seconds to go, and missing free throws, and Hartenstein, and Maxey, and the ball. I couldn't follow the ball very well. I'm like, who has the ball? Is it a jump ball? No, there he's got the ball.
It's loose. It's loose. It's on the floor.
A missed DiVincenzo three, a rebound by Hartenstein, a kick back out to DiVincenzo, and we've got a great, oh my God, Dirt, do we got a banger here.
2-point game. And Maxey gets knocked down. Hart takes it away. Out top to DiVincenzo. His shot won't go. Hartenstein the rebound. Hartenstein gets it out to Ananobi. DiVincenzo a three. Bang! Bang! Knicks take a 1-point lead with 13 seconds remaining.
Think about how much heartbreak that fan base has had to endure by that garbage-ass franchise.
They've been irrelevant for 30 years,
Oh, they have one of the worst owners in pro sports. The guy just wants to do his own concerts at his venue.
Yeah, wants to play with the Who.
They finally get a likable, scrappy team. The coach, who, by the way, I must say, thought about this yesterday. Don't you love that people, this is what the NBA summed up in a nutshell to me is, I don't care, the players don't care, they don't play. And then in the same breath, Dom Thibodeau plays his guys too much.
He gets criticized for that, for playing his guys too much?
The high minutes stuff is what he's a traditional basketball. He play. We're here to play. What do you mean?
Right. They at least had a semi-8-man rotation. Philly's basically only 7 guys at this point.
Well, Embiid stayed healthy.
He did. He finished the game at least.
His career might be summed up of just absolute what the hell and heartbreak in the postseason, because this guy, he's just been a part of some devastating losses in the playoffs.
I mean, I feel like he is a compatriot of ours here in Portland, because we had a guy who was in, I would argue, a very similar situation. Now, Embiid has had more help throughout his career. He had the year with Jimmy Butler. If you want to proclaim James Harden being good, go for it, but he's terrible in the playoffs.
They were within a game away from eliminating.
They've had their chances. Kawhi Leonard, of course, hit the baseline shot. If he doesn't make that, they likely go to the Eastern Conference Finals to have a chance. I think that was in Game 7, was it not?
I believe.
Or Game 6?
It was Game 7, but I believe the game would have gone to overtime.
I think it was tied, yes. Yeah. And so maybe you win that game, and then Toronto went on to win the NBA championship. Butler leaves, so he loses that running mate. This is why some of the stuff about not being able to win, or what has he done, or how far has he gone, it's a nauseating conversation that happens with quarterbacks and with NBA stars, because every single one of these guys is almost identical, and that they need help. You got to have something out there. Maxey was terrific last night. Outside of that, what else did he have?
Outside of the end of the game.
Outside of the final possession in which he, you know, dribbled it off his leg and they turned it over and the Knicks ended up winning. But Maxey, look, I'll give it. Maxey was great last night, man. I have my questions about him as a number two guy in the NBA. He was terrific.
He's been great in the series
He's been great in the series so far. Outside of that, what do you got? There's nothing there on that roster,
well,
man.
I believe last night broke his brain. I think him and everybody else in Philly, Nick Nurse, blaming the officials and said he called timeout. The ref looked right at him, didn't give him the timeout. I don't know. We could probably see tape and maybe get some evidence. Joel Embiid, I think it broke him to the point where he's just going to say the thing that players don't usually say out loud.
We should be 2-0, so you know, we good. We gonna win this series. We gonna win this. We know what we gotta fix. We did a better job today, so we gonna fix it. But we're the better team, and we gonna keep fighting.
Down 2-0, we're the better team. We're gonna win the series. They have to win 4 the next 5.
It's a bold move, Cotton. Bold move. Tip of the cap to that dude, though, man. 34-10-6 on one leg. Basically, playing 39 minutes in that game.
Is he Lamar Jackson? Like, we all know that he's great, but, like, because he doesn't achieve the thing, we kind of knock it down a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a pretty good comparable. You know, I would use the analogy, like, if you give him Jamal Murray and Aaron Gordon, how different does their team feel? I don't know if they win a championship, and I'm not even trying to compare him and Jokic because they're different players, but... There's just, like, we dealt with that for 10 years of watching Damian Lillard show out and be a dominant player, not be able to break through in the playoffs, and the narrative was, oh, he's not in that same category, he can't win the big one. How many conference finals have you been to? He's never been to an NBA finals, and it's a nauseating conversation because anybody with eyeballs and a brain can watch some of these teams play and say, that team is more loaded than that team. He has to carry them. He got a great night from Maxey. They only had one other player in double figures last night. One. And they should have won that game, and that's insane.
We'll see if they can come back. I'll tell you this, hot take after two games. Maybe Daryl Morey don't rely on Kyle Lowry off a scrap heap to be like one of your most important players at this point of that team.
The Nick Batum story was fun in the play-in. Yeah. But that's not a reliable source of production this time of year, man. I love not calling a foul, though, in those late seconds.
I did, too.
Let them go rugby, dude. Yes. I'm standing firm. We did this for the UConn-Iowa Final Four, whatever, Elite Eight game, whatever level that was. Let them play, dude. It's the end of the game. See how it ends up.
Loaded second hour. Sam Monson's going to be on. Well, I don't know if we're going to do the YouTube thing. We might have to pivot out of that. We're still not live on YouTube yet. We'll keep you updated on that. But we got Sam Monson of PFF. At 7:30, NFL Draft Conversations. We dive into it next on The Fan.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.